Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
Hunt for a Hometown Killer by Mary Dodge Allen. Small towns can have secrets and skeletons. What happens when a sinkhole uncovers them? 2 years to the day after Roxy Silva's husband was murdered, a freak sinkhole drains a retention pond, exposing the car used in his fatal hit-and-run. The skeleton of the presumed prime suspect, the car's owner, is found inside the trunk, thrusting the investigation in a new direction. Detective Kyle Ransom is determined to find his best friend's killer, and Roxy is equally determined to help. As a mail carrier, she can remain invisible as she moves around town. Using her total recall memory, she observes activities and captures images of people, vehicles, and license plates, as well as the addresses on mail and packages she delivers. Roxy has no idea her amateur sleuthing will place her life in danger. Together, Roxy and Kyle uncover a shocking trail of deception and secrets. As they work on the cold case, their relationship heats up. Kyle's wife died years ago, and he's ready for a commitment. But Roxy is recovering from the depression triggered by her husband's murder and other sudden and tragic losses in her life. She's struggling with a deep-seated fear of loss, her faith, and finding meaning in a chaotic world. Complications arise when Roxy's first love comes back into her life, wanting a second chance. Old feelings of attraction and bitterness surface as she confronts a long-buried secret in her own past. Kyle identifies a new prime suspect, and the killer drops out of sight. When Roxy leaves on a wilderness women getaway camping trip with her wisecracking friends, she finds herself in danger as the killer stalks her. She returns home, and the killer follows. Roxy is plunged in a fight for her life when she's taken captive, and she must use her wits to survive.
Hi, and welcome to this episode of The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hemmerker, and I'm so glad you joined me. Today, I have with me Mary Dodge Allen, who has won two Royal Palm Literary Awards from the Florida Writers Association, and she writes romantic suspense. So welcome to my show, Mary.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So now, you live in Florida.
Yes, I do.
Do you base your books in Florida? Is that like a location that you like enough that you, there's a lot of books I know that are based in Florida. So I'm just curious, are yours based in Florida?
Yes. Yes, they are. And I'll tell you, Florida is a great place to base your books. It seems like the weird and crazy crimes are committed in Florida. And there's also a lot of things in Florida that can kill you. Sinkholes, gators, you know, we have hurricanes, and there's a lot of hazards in Florida. Plus, who can resist the setting of sun and beaches and the ocean? So I think it has an awful lot of pluses. And plus, I like living here. I've lived here a long time. So setting mysteries in Florida is just what I do.
Yeah, that's, I'm kind of cracking up because you're right. I mean, people do weird things in Florida.
Yes.
I mean, isn't there some meme or some joke about, you know, a man in Florida, X, Y, I mean, you can almost
go on. I know, yes. There was even a whole TV show on the ID network on strange crimes in Florida or something like that. Oh my, it was just set in Florida. So.
Yeah. So did you watch that show and take lots of notes, think, oh, I can do this?
I didn't really watch that show, but I do watch way too much of the ID network. I love it. But I also worked at our local police station. I volunteered for 8 years. I worked in reception and in records, but I got to know after 8 years.
Yeah.
You get to know the police officers, the detectives, And I saw an awful lot, you know, just being a receptionist, you really see a lot in the reception room, a lot of drama. And, but I learned a lot about police procedure. And so I think that's helped me in writing. So.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. What a cool, I mean, what a cool thing to do.
Well, I really just wanted to volunteer because they put out a call for them. And I live in a small community. Mm. And my book is set in a small Florida community.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's great. So I like to ask this of all my first time guests, why romantic suspense? What about that genre drew you particularly to it?
Well, I love to read it. I think most of us like to write what we love to read.
That is so true.
What I love about it, when I was a kid, I got hooked on Nancy Drew. How many of us have done that? And then I moved on to Agatha Christie and then other mystery writers. And I love the puzzle of a mystery. The red herrings and the genuine clues and trying to sort those out. And I also, with romantic suspense, love the suspense of being either chased by the villain or chasing the villain before he does anything else, you know,
right,
someone else. And that suspense just keeps you turning the pages. And then there's the romance, which also has its twists and turns and ups and downs. And the combination of that and weaving that together, I just love reading it and I love writing it.
Yeah, I agree. It's I often describe it as, you know, the main characters fall in love, are running for their lives, right? That's basically romantic suspense. You know, they may not literally be running for their lives, but they're trying to avoid whoever's out to get either one of them, both of them.
Yes.
Kind of thing. So I always find that as a good definition especially when I'm pitching, you know, books to potential readers at craft fairs and stuff. We finally got back to a few last fall and it was really nice to stand there and say, yes, I write romantic suspense and here's what it is. And, you know, connect with readers that way. But when do you find time to write? I mean, do you work outside the home? Are you working from home? When is your best writing time? Or how do you work that into your schedule?
My best time is in the morning with and so I have learned you have to set aside that time. Things can pull you away, life pulls you away.
Yes.
You know, your responsibilities, but you have to set that time. And if for some reason I couldn't write in the morning, I will write the late afternoon, strangely enough. It's also a good time. And of course, coffee helps, late afternoon. Coffee's a big part of my life. So that's what kind of keeps me going as I'm writing if I start to flag and get a little tired.
Yeah, I don't drink coffee. I know, it's like, am I really a writer if I don't drink coffee? I'm not real sure. People have looked at me strangely. No, I drink a lot of hot tea. I mean, I drink a lot. Hot tea, 2 cups in the morning and then decaf at night. When I'm sitting there with my knitting and one of my cats and BritBox on my iPad.
Oh, BritBox. Love that. We have that too. Oh yes.
That was my Christmas present from my 4 children.
Oh, how nice. Yes.
Yeah. I was like, what do I want for, you know, Christmas and birthdays? They're just hard for me. My husband and some of my kids, they always have this running list of things they want. I don't do that. I've never really done that. And so I kept thinking, they keep asking me, what do you want? What do you want? I'm thinking, I don't need more stuff. Right. You know, I mean, really, who needs more stuff? I mean, you can see behind me, I have tons of books. I mean, I really don't need more. And I could ask for an Amazon gift card because I'm always buying eBooks for my Kindle, all the romantic suspense. But I'm like, then I was like, I could get a subscription. I said, this is what you do. Birthday, Christmas all together. I'm fine with that. Just renew it every year. I'm a happy girl.
My husband and I watch that almost every night. We love BritBox.
And what I love about, no surprise to our listeners is that I watch a lot of the British crime shows.
Oh yeah.
I love it. But what's fascinating is is that they do all their policing mostly without guns, which I find very interesting on the one hand. But on the other hand, I love that often I'll get an idea for, I could do that. My heroine could get into that or do, you know, kind of situations. And so I love, that's what I love about watching any kind of TV show, right, really, but that it really kind of helps. I feel like it's almost like a research. I know that everything portrayed is not true, but some of the situations kind of spark your, like, oh, she could get run off the road on the, you know, in the middle of a cornfield, you know, you kind of ideas for danger and stuff. That's what I really like about
Life. Even I find myself as a writer, I observe all the time. Mm-hmm. And I'll be in a restaurant and I'm not really eavesdropping, but
it's more
talking loudly. And but sometimes you get snippets of conversation. Yeah. It's so interesting. And I don't know, just observing people's behaviors and and also my book opens with a sinkhole, which of course is how my main character discovers the car used in the murder of her husband 2 years earlier. The sinkhole drains a retention pond and it, you know, uncovers the car. But we had a sinkhole less than a mile from our condo here in Florida. And it was several years ago, but it swallowed 5 or 6 luxury cars from a car dealership and parts of a home, and the homeowner was okay. But, you know, not there at the moment, but it's just amazing. So I thought that is the best way to start my book is with something, just with action. I like a mystery that has a lot of action. You know.
Right. And that's what gives it that suspense kind of thing. Yeah, I know. Just always kind of start it off with, you know, an attack on you, or you discover something, or, you know, like I said, sinkhole almost takes you down, you know, those kind of things are just that it is because you want to drop the reader right in the action. Mm-hmm. I want them to know they're reading a romantic suspense.
Yeah.
Let's move on with that. So, how do you connect with your characters? That's always a question. I mean, do you do like character sketches? Do you talk to them? I can say that to another writer because that's what we do. We do have conversations with our characters.
Yeah, all of the above. I do make character sketches at the beginning and detailed. Not just what their goals are or whatever, how they're going to fit into the story, but what's their backstory? What are their fears? What is it they're trying to accomplish in life? And emotionally, what are they like? Are they funny? Are they humorous? Are they compulsive? I mean, you know, what is it that really makes them tick? And sometimes I'll even cut out magazine pictures of what I think they would look like in my mind's eye. And oftentimes when I'm doing a scene, when I'm writing a scene, they'll just come out with this dialogue that I didn't really consciously plan. And it's great. It just tweaks the plot a little and adds some more interest or, you know, gives me a quirk that I can play some humor off of. So, it's really fun.
Yeah. I'm more of a pantser. You should be a plotter, but for those of you who don't know, that means I don't really outline my books. I have an idea, the overall arching idea. And for my characters, I do a little bit. I figure out, you know, what their fears are and some of that stuff. And I find pictures online and just stick them in there so I know what they look like. And I have that as a reference. Especially for my Love Inspired Suspense books, I was like, the first one I didn't do that with. Uh-huh. And they're like, so we need pictures of what they look like. I'm like, oh, I don't know. I have it in here. I can't find it out there. So I sent my girls who were young teens at the time. I said, okay, I have a project for you. I want you to go on Instagram and here's the descriptions. Find me 5, you know, heroes and 5 heroines and I'll just pick. They did. It was great. They saved me tons of work. They were happy to do it. I'm like, I don't want to go look. So that was great. But yeah, I love getting to know the characters. Mine are always surprising me, what they're doing and what they're not doing. So that's they're, I mean, it is fun. You know, you do have that dialogue and they do come out with surprising ways for the characters. So we only have a few more minutes left. So what are you working on next? What's your next project?
I'm actually working on two books. One is the sequel to Hunt for a Hometown Killer. You know, the main character is an amateur sleuth. She's a mail carrier. And it's a perfect job for an amateur sleuth. Yeah. I worked as a mail carrier one summer, many, many years ago, in between college. And I tell you, you can learn a lot about the people on your route from their the return addresses on their packages, from their newsletters, from the cards they get. But also, you're invisible in plain sight. Who pays attention to a mail truck? And you're always, you know, driving around and observing. Plus, Roxy has a photographic memory. So that helps her to remember license plates, addresses, et cetera. And anyway, so Roxy will continue to solve crimes along with Kyle, her detective and main squeeze. And you know, so that will move forward. And I'm also doing a prequel from many years. I want to write a World War II based book. And one of the characters is Grandpa Leo, who is in the book, he's 96, but he was a former World War II pilot. And so I'm going to write a love story, a historical love story about how he and his wife get together. It will happen in war-torn Europe. So when after he's shot down. So
Well, exciting things. Well, thank you so much for being on my show today, Mary.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Thank you.
You have been listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hamricker, and I'm so glad you stopped by to hear my chat with Mary Dodge Allen. She's won several literary awards, and you can read more about her and find links to all her social media and website in the notes for this podcast. Stay tuned for an excerpt from her latest book, Hunt for a Hometown Killer.
Now an excerpt from Hunt for a Hometown Killer, by Mary Dodge Allen. Chapter 1, Riverside Bay, Florida, Thursday. Roxy Silva breathed out a relieved sigh as she finished the last delivery on her mail route. She was looking forward to going home and cranking the air conditioning down to the sub-zero range. It had been a difficult day, the second anniversary of her husband's unsolved murder. And for the past several years, while delivering mail in the scorching June heat, Roxy couldn't stop thinking about the fact that the person responsible for Vance's death was still out there somewhere. She brushed strands of damp hair off her forehead as she walked back to her mail truck, parked near the huge retention pond at the end of Dolphin Lane. Sunlight shimmered on the pond's rippled surface, highlighting a strange patch of swirling water a few feet offshore. The whirlpool's funnel shape reminded her of water circling around a bathtub drain.
"Hello there, Rox!"
Mae Sims waved to her from the sidewalk bordering the pond. The elderly woman was pushing a pink baby stroller, and her small poodle was riding in the stroller seat as usual. Mae stopped under the shade of a tall laurel oak and held up a plastic Cool Whip container.
"I baked sugar cookies today. Want to try one?"
Roxy forced a smile as her thoughts flashed back to the church's bake sale, when Mae's banana bread sent several people to the ER.
"Thanks, Mae, but I can't right now. I'm running late and I need to get back to the post office."
She gave her a quick wave and then unlocked the truck's driver's door. At that moment, the pavement beneath her feet began shaking. A towering geyser erupted from the whirlpool near shore, spraying Roxy's skin with cool droplets, like a misty rain. Mae let out a panicked scream as chunks of the pond's grassy shoreline slid into the convulsing water. The laurel oak near her cracked and splintered as it toppled over, creating a massive splash. Roxy broke into an icy sweat.
May, get away from there!
She threw down her shoulder bag and ran toward the petite woman. May visibly trembled as she stood on the cracked sidewalk next to the oak's gigantic root ball, still clinging to the wet soil at the edge of the steep, muddy bank. Water dripped from her gray hair as she stared into the hole.
May, come with me!
No!
She shook her head and let out a sob.
Not without Trixie! She's stuck in that tree!
Roxy looked down. The pink stroller bobbed in the fast-swirling water near the fallen oak. Something sparkled like diamonds in the oak's leafy branches. Trixie's rhinestone-studded harness. The tiny poodle sat wedged between two thick limbs just out of reach. The dog's high-pitched whimpering was barely audible over the water's churning turbulence. Roxy turned to May.
If you leave with me right now, I'll come back and help Trixie, I promise.
She guided the frail woman to the spot where she'd discarded her mailbag.
Stay here, okay?
May nodded. Her wrinkled face wore a dazed expression. Roxy ran back and stood next to the huge mass of tangled roots and soil. She took a deep breath as she gripped a thick, dirt-caked tree root with her sweaty left hand and stepped off the sidewalk's broken concrete. Her steel-toe athletic shoes sank into the damp, unstable dirt. Roxy tightened her grip on the root as she leaned down and stretched out her right arm toward Trixie. She gently slid her fingers under the sparkling harness and felt the poodle's rapid heartbeat beneath her soft fur.
It's okay, girl. I've got you.
Twigs snapped as she freed the tiny dog. The dirt under Roxy's feet abruptly shifted, and she lost her grip on the tree root. She held the small dog in the crook of her right arm as she slid downward. Branches scraped her left arm as her hips slammed against the trunk. She realized she was pinned against the limbs that had held Trixie. Adrenaline surged. Roxy's heartbeat accelerated as she grabbed a thick branch with her free hand. Using all her strength, she pulled herself up the slippery dirt wall and scrambled over the crumbling sidewalk. She ran toward May and picked up her shoulder bag before escorting the frantic woman further away from the sinkhole. When Roxy finally stopped, she was gasping for breath and trembling almost as much as the poodle in her arms. May reached for Trixie and cradled her tiny dog like a baby. Tears formed in her eyes as she tenderly plucked stray twigs and leaves from Trixie's dirty white fur.
She doesn't look injured, but I'd better take her to the vet to make sure.
May looked up. Her lips quivered as she said,
Thank you.
Roxy nodded and smiled, still too out of breath to speak. She heard the sounds of voices and turned. Residents had gathered in the street several feet away. She knew all of them well, since they had been on her mail route for years. A few waved to her, but most of them wore shocked expressions as they stared at the sinkhole. May hurried over and joined her neighbors. The ground shook again. Roxy turned back to the pond and let out a sharp cry as the oak's root ball slid out of sight, along with the cracked sidewalk. The pavement under her mail truck's front tires disappeared. The truck slid forward and abruptly stopped. Its rear tires gripped the edge of the hole.
Someone needs to call the police!
Roxy startled, as if she'd been awakened from a trance. With shaking hands, she reached into the torn pocket of her postal uniform shorts and pulled out her phone. She hesitated when she saw the spiderweb of cracks, and then she whispered a quick prayer as she double-tapped the damaged screen. Relief surged when her phone lit up. She pressed a familiar speed dial number. When Kyle answered, she blurted,
A sinkhole opened up in Riverside Bay Estates! You need to send officers out here! My mail truck slid into the hole and it's caught on the edge!
Rox, Are you inside the truck?
Kyle sounded panicked.
No, I'm okay. Sorry, I should have told you that first.
She blew out a shaky sigh as her heartbeat thundered like a jackhammer.
Is anyone hurt?
No, at least I don't think so. But my mail truck fell halfway through inside the sinkhole. You need to send a tow truck.
Where exactly is the sinkhole? Are any homes damaged?
The hole opened up in that huge retention pond at the end of Dolphin Lane. Part of the shoreline is gone, but the sinkhole isn't near any homes yet. The water level has gone way down.
She stopped as something on the opposite shore caught her attention.
Kyle, you need to send another tow truck. I see a black car stuck in the muddy bank across the pond near the entrance to the wildlife refuge.
Her words caught in her throat as she made the connection. 2 years ago, a witness saw a black Mercedes sedan speeding away from the scene of her husband's fatal hit and run.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.